When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Hey, yeah, I work here.
You don't need to yell, though. That's all right. Because now you're just drawing attention to yourself. Okay, let's go, you guys.
You feel kind of a pressure on your foot.
No bottom step. No bottom step.
You want my bottom out of your face? What?
No. I mean, yes, but no, the bottom step is don't step on.
Okay.
It's going to be like boxes inside a box, right?
Are they labeled? Can I look at some crates and see if they're labeled?
They are labeled with merchant names.
That also makes sense.
Oh, right.
Are we going to be able to carry these out of here?
Are they like maple syrup jugs?
No, they're larger jugs.
Son of a bitch!
Like gallon jugs.
Was I given a bag of holding from her by any chance? That cunt. Hey, guys, look, there's some burlap bags over here. Okay, I'll put in one, two in the other. And you're right, let's put these to the side and just keep filling our bags.
So Moot's pretty familiar with a lot of these, included in that Styx root, goji leaves, and sundrop. So he knows those three real well and can probably fake the other two if need be.
I'm going to pick up the box that says hallucinogens and bring it back further away from the creature.
The creature looks back up at you and you see its teeth.
Underhand toss the jalapeno popper towards
it. Snatches it out of the air, just like shredding it. There's cream cheese everywhere. Chu has noticed you three sneaking off. Wide-eyed, like almost like hurry up. As you jump, you hear the cargo door open.
Hey! Who left the door open?
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. And with me today is Tom Laird.
Hey, that's me. I play Moot. He is a half-orc wild magic sorcerer.
And Amy Moore.
Yeah, that's me. I loved how high Tom's eyebrows went when you called on him first.
I was like, very surprised.
Well, he didn't have the answer ready. He didn't study for the test.
Teacher called on me and I wasn't ready.
And I play Sullivan Slight, a half-foot. This is where editing comes in. A light foot halfling rogue.
You sure?
Maybe. Do you want me to say it again, but less yelly?
You're good. And Carla Maxted.
That is me. I play Glim, a dragonborn paladin.
Well, that didn't seem so hard.
And joining us today, a very special guest. You know him from the blog and the book, The Monsters Know What They're Doing, and his new book, Live to Tell the Tale, Keith Ammon.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Keith.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for being here, Keith.
I feel like we should have a background.
Russ is so much nicer to us when there's a guest, so.
Unless he's forced you to play someone evil that we need to try to kill.
Oh.
As we determined before we started playing, I didn't force Keith to play anybody.
It's true.
No.
It was all luck of the die.
Luck of the die.
Yeah. Where do we usually go from here? you can join us on Patreon, and patrons get a special episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Ken Keen.
Thanks, Ken.
Ken Keen. The alliteration on that is awesome.
Ken Keen is maybe a superhero.
Oh, good call.
Sounds like a superhero name.
Definitely at least a friend of a superhero.
For sure.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Sassy office mate.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. Kept in the dark, but he's got an idea.
Could be, you know, future guy behind the computer said superhero.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'd read this. I'm interested.
Yeah. We're hooked. And now to the story. Fuck it. Let's play D&D. Previously, we left Moot, Glim, and Sully, who had just hopped off the Golden Dragon with their wares, their items they had stolen. The ship.
Oh, all my God. I was like, did we get super high? We were riding the Golden Dragon.
No.
What is happening?
No.
No, right. We robbed a ship. Okay. Yes.
We robbed a ship quite successfully.
I know what happened.
Against all odds.
Against all odds. We did it.
Mm-hmm. You rolled very well.
Yes, I did.
You all successfully hopped down to the dock where you catch Shu Left Hand's eye, and he's waving over to you like, hurry, hurry. You hear a call from inside the ship be like, hey, who left the door open? And footsteps heading down towards the door in the cargo hold.
I haul ass.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah, we should skedaddle.
Yeah.
You follow quickly behind Shu, who leads you across the gangplank of the dock. And then you hear a bell start ringing from the Golden Dragon. And not really coherent words, but more yelling, be like, we've been robbed! Somebody get... And then you see, if you look over your shoulder... You look over your shoulder.
Sully definitely does.
Sully, you see the crew that has all recently come back aboard this ship. They're looking over the edge, and you see one of them pointing in your direction as you are carrying several large sacks between the three of you walking away from the ship. Shu gets you to speed up quickly, and you head into Saraloon, and you see these men running down the gangplank. He leads you down a couple alleyways and ducks into one of the buildings and goes up a flight of stairs and says, We gotta get you out of here quick. I know a guy who maybe can give us a hand. We're gonna see how it plays out, though. Just come on, follow me.
Yeah, okay, if we didn't have to get these stupid jaws of stuff, it'd be a lot easier to sneak around.
I don't... you guys were the adventurers. I was the one facilitating the, making sure that, you know, it looked like we belonged there.
No, yeah, fair enough. You know what? You sobered up real good, too, like...
You've been amazing. You got us to this very nice apartment?
Well, it could be somebody's apartment. Yeah. Just look in the... Oh, yeah. Hey, Mrs. Finkelstein.
So it's not just a flop house. There's someone else who lives here.
We just went into someone's house. Yeah,
nice to see you. We're just cutting through. Don't worry about us. Don't tell anybody. We're just going to go out the fire escape here up to the roof, okay?
It has a real, like, Ferris Bueller vibe to it. We're like, smells delicious.
Indeed.
You head out Mrs. Finkelstein's fire escape up to the roof. Shu Left Hand gets you to duck down around the edges and says, "You just wait here. I'm gonna send the signal and see if he can show up." A few moments pass and Shu's kind of walking awkwardly around, kind of waving, and then you hear the sound of soft footpads land behind you. You turn and you see
a very lanky tabaxi, head to toe light gray fur with very faint leopard spots, wearing what looks somewhat like monk's robes but with a very, very foreign cut, and he travels light. He has kind of a crouch, rests lightly on both hands and both feet, tail kind of waving in the air, and says, "Welcome, seekers."
Oh, Jesus, you scared the... Oh, are you who we're waiting for?
this your friend, Shu?
Shu sees that this character has landed behind you and says, oh, good, Floor, you're here. Look, my friend's here. You look, and do you want to give your current situation a bit of a description? What you guys look like?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I'm like, I mean, like,
I was like, yeah. We're on a roof.
We stole some stuff.
We just went through an apartment building, I guess. Yeah, Sullivan Slight is kind of mocha-y skin, dark hair, short for a halfling. No, he's tall for a halfling, but still short because he is a halfling. And, yeah, pretty little unkempt little dude.
Glim is a dragonborn. She's a big one. She's about 6'5". She's kind of wearing a robe right now because she's in disguise as Slim because she got into a little trouble in this town the day before. But when her robe is not there, she's pretty flashy looking. Metallic brass, rose gold, platinum. Strikes quite a figure.
Yeah, and Moot is a little on the short side for a half-orc. He's a little bit on the young side of things, too. He was wearing a giant floppy sun hat as a disguise, but probably has ditched that now that we're a little more mobile and we've been seen and we're on the run.
Yeah, but did you, like, pocket that sun hat, or...?
I assume I put it in some sort of bag for another purpose in time.
For later.
Yeah.
Never know when you're going to need a floppy sun hat.
Hey, as I was saying, Floor, my friends here are in a bit of a pickle. You see, you might recognize the two of them from the pictures around town. They were the ones who went all blasty face on those cult members.
They do not post the pictures up this high.
Fair enough. Okay, I forgot you don't come down. I forgot you don't come down. That's okay. So anyways, they're wanted by the cult. And, well, they kind of just stole some stuff off... I'm not selling this very well. You guys, you sold it to me really, really good. You explain what you need done.
Yeah, all right. We're going to need like 8 pints of beer. And that's how we sold it to you the first time. Oh. You were actually doing kind of fine.
Oh, okay. Well, it's
It's not a good story. Glim here lit up a dude, but in all fairness, he wouldn't stop touching the donkey. Glim, I'm not entirely sure on that one.
Well, remember, you were hiding under the blankets.
For good reasons, in which we will talk about at a later time, not now, in front of new friends. God, Moot.
Sorry.
You are in need of beer? Why do you not go to a tavern?
No, we're not being very clear. What we are in need of is getting the heck out of here. We got in a little trouble, then we did some light stealing... Some light
just to help
freeing
Sully
of
out,
items
really.
That we needed to honor a blood debt. And now it'd be great if we could just, like, get out of this town.
We're just trying to save Merv's life.
So you need to move through the city unseen.
Yes, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. You seem really sneaky.
I can help you with that. Yes. I am a disciple of the Way of the Rooftop.
The Way of the Rooftop? This is the first time hearing of that, and Moot writes that down in his notebook.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't heard of it before, Moot. I mean, you've worked on many a rooftop.
But yeah, I wasn't told there was a Way of the Rooftop.
It is known to only a few.
Good, now a few more. Any other tips and tricks you want to tell us about this Way of the Rooftop? If it's going to help us, I mean, shouldn't we, like, try to also walk like a rooftopian?
Learning the way is not something you can do in a day. It takes a lifetime of practice, disciplined study. Are you prepared?
For a lifetime of practice and study? Listen, I have to get back because I think maybe they're going to release my friend Merv. And if I'm not there... Well,
okay.
Yeah.
So you are more interested in a short term. Services.
Definitely.
I see.
Yes, yes.
A guide across this part of the city.
Yes, you understand perfectly. That's exactly what we need. A very quiet, secretive guide that can get us right out of town.
Who definitely knows where they're going, not who just says they know where they're going.
Oh, we've had issues
and
with
guides in
the past.
And in fact are a fugitive themselves.
In the past. Yeah.
Yes.
If I may ask, where do you plan to go after this?
Well, we gotta take this stuff and get...
Consulting notes?
Wait a minute. It's not on here.
So the tabaxi looks at the amount of stuff you're carrying. And you look at the amount of stuff that the tabaxi is carrying, which seems to consist entirely of a sling, one pouch, and a water skin. And he says, you realize carrying all of this stuff is going to make it much more difficult.
Yeah, it's kind of part of the deal, though. A woman sent us through a portal, and now we got to get back to Proska so that we can give her this stuff so that we have fulfilled the promise that we made to her and so that nothing bad will happen to me.
Guys, don't they sound like they got all these great stories? Ah, that's where they really hooked me.
So, out of character for a moment, the city that Sully just mentioned, is that one that I would have heard of? Is it within this part of Sembia?
It's quite a ways away. Like, it's probably
at least
a 10-day travel.
So, okay.
Don't laugh at me, Tom.
But it's not on the other side of the world. It's not something like they have to teleport to or something like that.
It's still on the same sea.
Just getting to where we were right now was a time crunch.
Okay. So, all right. Got it.
Down from the street level, you hear, I think they went this way. And heavy footsteps begin walking up towards... in the direction of the building where you are atop.
Get low and follow me.
And I'm going to spend 2 key points to cast Pass Without Trace.
Okay. You cast Pass Without Trace using key points, not even spell slots. Magic. Okay, tell me what your goal is here. And everybody... So,
how many bags did we have again?
Yeah, and I'd like to clarify who's carrying what, because I'm very big and strong, and I don't know that it makes sense for the halfling to be carrying, like, the large sacks of things, whereas I'm a very large, strong creature.
My note says...
So perhaps I could take some of the burden?
My note says got all the stuff.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
All wrapped up in a neat little package.
There it is.
We got all the stuff off the ship. We each kind of had our own sacks, but perhaps now would be a good time to redistribute that between the Dragonborn... and the half-orc, and maybe you can have, like, the little pouches or something.
The little pouches of dust.
Yeah, I want dust pouches.
Okay.
I think, how many jars were there?
There were six.
There were six. Oh, we have so much stuff. I feel like we're at custom.
Only we had a bag of holding. Cargo shorts of holding.
Maybe a fanny pack of holding.
Oh.
Exactly.
Yeah, 6 alchemical jugs. The herbs and the circlet, not a big deal.
Yeah, that's all
jugs.
Small.
Six
but yeah, the 6 like milk jug sized jugs that you placed into burlap sacks. Okay, you tell me who's got what.
I have all the and whatnots.
Okay. Yeah, you have all like the herbs and the circlet and the
light stuff. I can fit into my little satchel.
Yeah. How big are you, Moot? You're big too.
I'm a little shorter than I used to be, but yeah, I'm pretty decently sized.
Well, maybe you can take 2 and I'll take 4.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh my word.
I do that while I do Zumba. This ain't no thing. I've been working out this whole trip, you know. I'm jacked.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Reslayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Shu, just before you guys head off to begin skimming silently across rooftops, Shu turns to you. He's like, I'll just go, you know, send them in the other direction. You're like, I think I saw those crew go that way kind of thing, okay? I'll catch up with you later. Just remember, he doesn't like to go to the ground. He whispers in your ear. He's like, floor is lava, okay?
Okay,
perfect.
Yeah,
it's really rude.
Thanks, Shu. You've been an amazing part of
my,
our adventure.
My ears twitch and I turn around and say, did you say something?
No, nothing. It's okay. We just telling them not to ask you to take any shortcuts through alleyways or anything like that. You know best.
I thought I heard my name.
I was just saying how much of a cool dude you were, and you like to spend so much time up in the tops of the buildings.
It is not that I simply like it; it is what I have committed my life to.
You are the rooftops. I merely adopted the rooftops, but you was born in the rooftops. That's.
Hey, Shu, aren't you going to go make a distraction?
I think so. I'm going to go check in with Mrs. Finkelstein. She looked a little bit scared. And Shu runs off. And you four begin following behind. Which way? Tell me where. What floor is lava does and which way do they go.
That's the full name?
Yes, floor is lava.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. So topical. Mm-hmm. Jeez.
We are right now on the top of a two-story building, and I lead them in the direction of the way they would have to leave in order to go to the city that Sully named.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily the most direct route because we are going from rooftop to rooftop with the occasional jump. They are so far never more than about 5 feet between buildings, and. We are staying low. I am at least attempting to move stealthily.
Okay, everybody roll a stealth check.
I was going to say, I'm sure we're all attempting to move stealthily.
You do have your plus 10, I believe, with Pass Without
guys,
Trace.
Guys, I'm going to be stealthy as shit. Yeah, you can roll a 2.
I don't know.
But you should have crazy bonuses.
I do, but that's not the point. 19.
Oh, hey, that's what I ended up with.
It could have been... Shut up. It could have been, like, amazing.
Is that with Pass Without Trace or before it?
It's with it.
Okay.
So I'm 22.
Jesus, you're carrying 4 bags filled with terracotta pots,
strong.
And you're like...
It's like nothing.
You're just, like, silently leaping from building to building.
So, Floor, you look behind you, and surprisingly, I mean, I could picture you looking at this group with these big jugs in bags, thinking this isn't, we're going to get caught in like under 10 seconds. But you turn back after you hop a few roofs and they are surprisingly silent. There's a few little clanging, but you're pleased, I would think.
Okay.
With the I've got a 25, by the way.
Perfect.
We bow to the expert.
I mean, I think I put the jugs in my backpack. I don't think I'm like, I want my hands free.
Okay, I didn't know you had a backpack.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all start with like our adventure.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
And even just in case Russ was going to call me on it, I just double checked and I definitely have one in my inventory. So.
I believe you know what you're
carrying. Stop saying I don't own a backpack, Russ.
Yeah, Russ.
Yeah, Russ. God.
So it is a bit of a winding path because it's like, you know, finding the right rooftops that you can jump from one to another is sort of like running a maze, but very much like running a maze.
It's our specialty.
But
we're not leading this.
We're making our way in that direction.
Okay, so the three of you, after a little while, you can notice you're kind of like, you're backtracking and you're going in different directions. You know, because of where you came into the city, which way you should be going out, but you seem to be doubling back a little bit.
Guys, I don't want to be rude to our guide here, but like maybe he's lost or something. Because I've seen, like, other, like, we're going sometimes backwards, in the backwards direction.
Well, I think he clearly is has very strong faith in his rooftop beliefs. So, as another person of faith, I trust him. I think he knows what he's doing.
Oh, okay.
What's Floor's passive perception?
It's 15.
Okay.
And I don't know if you looked, but I do have a mixed background and the city secrets feature.
Okay, you are carrying on your path, hopping from rooftop to rooftop. Everybody's staying really quiet, surprisingly, behind you. As you get, I don't know, about a quarter of the distance that you feel you need to go, you hear wings and like a whistle up above in the air. Floor.
Okay. I pause, put up a hand, and say, this way, and hustle them over toward the nearest chimney that we might be able to hide in the shadow of. It'll have to be a pretty large one to hide the dragonborn and the half-orc.
I feel like you have to hop another roof, but you're able to we'll carry the stealth. Glim and Moot, I feel like Sully and Floor would be able to get into a shadow quick enough and well enough, but Moot and Glim, roll me another stealth check.
Okay. 25.
Oh, 22.
Jeez Louises, you guys.
Right. You find and you're like, you angle the shadow so that it's just perfect. And then you're directed, you see... It's like this, almost like a bat-like creature whip by your location just as you manage to kind of all turn around a corner, and it flies up and into the air.
Oh, my God.
And how big is it? It must be big.
What the fuck is that?
It's like a little bigger than it looks like a bat, but it's like...
You're making very large hands. I've seen a bat. They're not that...
The body is like a...
it's like the size of a basketball?
About half of a basketball.
The body's wings. Half of a basketball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a volleyball.
Like a volleyball with wings.
We're all such sportsters. I'm glad we're using these sporting terms.
Perfect metaphors.
These perfect measurements.
Floor, you would recognize them as sentry gargoyles, so much smaller gargoyles.
Watch out for them. They are fast, they are alert, and they attack the weak.
Yeah, Moot, be careful. Did you hear that? They attack the weak.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm just trying to make light of the situation. I'm sorry, I'm like really stressed out right now.
I have two of these jugs and you don't have any.
Well, I didn't know we were comparing who could carry that many jugs. Fine, I'll take a jug.
Moot, do you need me? Moot, do you need me to take another jug?
I can take a jug.
Are you having trouble? Or?
No, I'm fine. Just like, you know, let's just not be throwing out... You know, the insults, quite frankly.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm just under a lot of stress.
Okay, it's all right. Floor, how many of these things are there?
Many.
Uh-oh.
Countless. It is best to hide.
But how long are we going to be hiding for? Just a question. Not like I have any routes to be or anything.
I'll just peer out as subtly as I can to see where it seems to be going.
You watch it for a while, and it kind of does a circle around the area that you're in, and then you see a few more kind of dart through the sky above, and then they all kind of scatter and go out to a different area. You, having city knowledge, would know that, yes, there are many of the smaller ones, and you know that there are four much larger gargoyles that, if they're triggered, if the small ones detect something, they go back and report to these bigger ones who then come out.
Once they scatter, I'll begin leading them slowly again.
Okay. You head back out and begin making your way across the rooftops. And as you jump over a couple of them, you catch out of the corner of your eye as you're all jumping over that down in the streets, you see many of the helms have come out of their posts and are now patrolling the streets below.
Like one or two per street or like masses?
You see them now on like every street you pass by.
Okay. Cool.
This is nothing to worry about.
That's reassuring.
As long as we remain on the rooftops, they will not see us.
Your calmness is actually very, very comforting.
Have you never played Overwatch? Nobody ever looks up.
I mean, that is a pretty hard and fast rule.
So. You follow Floor's path through the city, and he's leading you under different areas of rooftop and back up onto. And you get to one rooftop, and I'm going to say you definitely see it. You silently land on the roof and you see the back of one of these large gargoyles patrolling the street below. It doesn't appear that you've alerted it as you land on the top of this roof.
Stop. This one we need to be very careful of.
Should we kill it?
No, do not provoke it.
And I start leading them very, very slowly and as silently as possible directly away from it.
Okay.
This may take us out of our way, but we must avoid that one.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't think anything has been a direct route thus far, so I think it's okay.
The true way is not always obvious.
Oh, that's deep, man. Fuck.
Glim is so into all of the, like, mystical part of this mythology.
Yeah, and Moose just been frantically writing down everything that Floor's been saying.
Are you jumping with, like, a notepad?
Floor's the coolest person we've met in a while. No offense to our friend Shu, who just helped us rob a boat.
Okay, everybody, as you turn and begin walking away, make a stealth check. Glim, probably with disadvantage.
What? Why?
Because you have four big jugs on your back, Glim.
Stop talking about Carla's jugs.
Uh-huh. 25 again for Floor.
Hey.
14.
31. Yo!
It was going to be 29, but then...
24 for me.
I would like to point out that it is canonical that I work out all the time. The Rock would not have a problem carrying four milk jugs on his
back.
That's right.
Would you get The Rock to roll that?
Yeah. I would probably get The Rock to roll disadvantage on a stealth and or strength check.
Let's make a better comparison. Would you make Vin Diesel roll? I mean, you know, we're playing
sure,
D&D. Yeah,
fair enough. Yep.
Let's use the right reference.
Okay. You all follow Floor and Glim as you hop up and over down onto this ledge below. The jugs kind of clang together.
I'm 12. Can't look at me like that.
You hear heavy clawed steps move across the roof that you were just on top of as you are quickly following behind the group.
What time of day is this?
Night.
It is night.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just going to keep following until I feel like I've caught up. If I've slowed down a bit behind them,
okay,
while I stumbled or whatever happened. If we stop again, which it seems like we are kind of like pausing and waiting, then I might ask Floor to like give me a minute and pull out the jugs and just wrap them in my clothes so they can no longer clang around together.
Okay.
Okay, you follow behind. Everybody else hears the jug and then hears those steps across the top, and you hear them like grip into a ledge a little further back, just as the four of you kind of duck around a corner. It's like the camera view. You see it kind of look down and around, just as the bag gets sucked around the corner. You have a moment to stop and do so.
Thank you.
You take a moment just to kind of collect yourselves and redistribute the noisy makers in your bag. And you hear down below the voice of Shu, who is walking with a group of the crew members. He's just kind of walking through the streets, and you hear him yelling,
"Oh, yeah, I think they, excuse me, sir. You're not going to believe me, but I got Spin Spinnaker and the Spinsters here looking for a few people. They were carrying lots of sacks and things. One was shortish, tallish. One was roundish, skinnyish. Yeah. No?"
And then you hear one of the crew members say,
"If you are leading us down a winding path of nowhere just so your friends can get away with our goods, we're gonna have problems."
"Oh, no problems, no problems. I don't know what you're talking about, friends. I was trying to help you, being a good citizen."
You see one of them pull a cutlass out and move it towards Shu, who begins kind of spacking away.
You know, I think if he had just a little bit more confidence and just like really sold it a little bit better and was all like, I'm the ship, whatever, like, you know, he had his title and whatever, and just like,
yeah, like when we were feeding him drinks, he was really confident then.
He was.
He just needs to pull out the clipboard that he uses in his official duties as a dock worker, and they would believe him because you always believe everyone with a clipboard.
Always.
They look so official.
So, how far away from us is Shu, are Shu and the guards?
We'll say that they're, like, down, like, not quite directly down below you, but you're about two stories up, and they're about half of a building away from you.
Okay. Where's the farthest alley from us that is still within 30 feet?
We could say it's directly across. We'll say it's like 25 feet away if you go out and down this main road.
You see Floor is Lava make a couple of mystical gestures and point at that alley. And you hear in that alley the exact sound of those jugs clanking together, but louder, and then some footsteps running away down the alley. That was a minor illusion cantrip.
You hear the commotion stop as that noise is made. You hear Shu be like,
"Oh, hey, that sounds like your jugs. They're this way. See, I wasn't that far off."
And he begins backing away carefully, and they start to follow him back down the alley. And he's like,
"Look, see? It wraps around here. They probably went this way. Come on, follow me."
Wow, thanks for doing that for Shu, because I was all like, should we get him? He's kind of on his own at this point. But you really took care of that, so like my conscience is clear and stuff. Thanks.
"Come this way now. We must make a faster pace if we are to elude them."
"Yes, of course."
All right. If we're picking up pace, we're going to need a dexterity, athletics or acrobatics. Whichever your character prefers.
20.
21.
Carla.
19.
Floor rolled a natural one on his acrobatics. And yeah, his total is only an 8.
You know, like when cats run into stuff randomly.
I know.
Or maybe it saw a cucumber
it's so
on
funny,
the ground.
But it's not.
Someone put, yeah, exactly. Someone put the cucumber by.
He flipped out.
So, yeah, my foot hits a loose ceiling tile that I didn't notice, and it clatters down.
We're here in the middle. We sing all the time, Keith. It's just what we do.
Always an intro song.
Always an intro song.
Always an intro song.
See, oh, Keith gets
so
it.
Keith fucking got lovely. It.
Yeah. He gets it.
Now, can you spit us some hot rhymes?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we try and do that, and it is not good.
No.
I know my limits.
It's good to know your
limits. That's the correct answer.
And we just keep trying to push through. But this is the point where we come talk to you, Keith, because you have two books. One is new that we want to tell everybody about where they can get it. It's called Live to Tell the Tale, new out. Give us a little bit of... Why did you write this book, and who is it for?
This book is for players, mostly beginning and intermediate players, although advanced ones might be able to pick up a thing or two by going back to the fundamentals. But mainly it is for players who want to increase the chances that their beloved immersive roleplay characters will survive what their DMs are throwing at them, especially if those DMs have read my other book, The Monsters Know What They're Doing, Combat Tactics for DMs. This is not a book about min-maxing. It is a book about determining the best strategies for the character you have created, however you've chosen to create that character. So if you are an immersive role player, or you just like doing wacky things with your characters, there, whatever choices you have made in creating that character, there is a way to optimize that character's chances of being effective in combat and surviving combat encounters and living to play out the terrific story arcs that you and your DM have planned for your characters.
I love it, because both Tom and I have The Monsters Know What They're Doing.
Yep.
You know, it's not that it makes it harder, but it's good that everybody is kind of on the same playing field with having both of these together now. I've started reading through it initially here, and there's lots of great useful stuff that I'm sure Amy and Carla are going to go just...
Well, as someone who has lost one of their beloved characters, I'm going to... Going to give this a cover to cover.
Someone who's like seen a friend lose a beloved character. I'm also
like
going to avoid that.
Not do that again. Although, you know, I did my best, but still, I'd like to not lose more. I'm the one that loses all the characters.
I was reading Keith's older book earlier today because I'm DMing a session tomorrow that we're playing in. And every time I DM, I read about the monsters that I've picked to use in my adventure. And every single time I learn something new, and it's just awesome. It's such a good resource. I 10 out of 10 cannot recommend it enough. Keith, it's an awesome book.
Thank you.
And we've talked about the book. Where can people find it?
Both The Monsters Know What They're Doing and Live to Tell the Tale are published by Saga Press, which is a trade book publisher, which means you can buy it at your local independent bookstore. You can buy it from bookshop.org, from Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere else you buy trade books. But, you know, this pandemic has really hit local bookstores hard. So if you've got one in your area, do them a solid.
Do so. Yeah, we'll link all of Keith's information down in the description. Thank you, Keith, again for joining us for these two episodes. tons of fun. If this is the first episode, the second episode is going to be more wild for you. If this is the second episode, thank you so much for joining us again, Keith. And we look forward to when we're able to sit down and play again in the future.
Thanks again for inviting me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
it was
Keith.
A real
Thanks,
treat.
Keith.
All right, we'll get you back to the episode now. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. All right, that shoots off as you begin running. The three of you see it like slide down the roof. I'll give somebody who's behind floor a dexterity check to who's directly behind floor. I didn't ask marching order, but I assume Glim,
I'll say I am.
Okay.
I was going to say, I've got good dex, but I got crap rolls. I mean, so
I'll give you a dex check. It's probably going to be a disadvantage to try and catch this tile before it falls off the building.
Can I use my mage hand?
Yeah, you got to roll on your wild magic table if you do so.
Yeah, you do.
Which I'm at 30% right now. So.
Because you and you think you have to because of that last surge thing you had.
This is a cantrip. It's not a level one spell.
Okay.
When
okay,
I use
okay.
a level one spell, I right. have to.
Fair enough.
Okay. But, you know, I still have a 30% chance.
Yeah.
So. That's a 16, so it should be all right on that.
Yeah, so your floor, you see out of the corner of your eye this mystical crab claw come out of thin air and go and grab the tile just as it kind of shoots off the top of the roof right before it strikes the building on the other side and catches it silently. And then also roll a d20 to see if you trigger your wild magic tip.
Oh, trigger it. This would be the worst time.
I know.
18.
Okay, so you're up to 6 now?
35% now.
All right.
So it's going to happen sooner or later.
I can't wait till it does. Will he be another animal? Will he be another 7 inches shorter?
Could be something actually bad, but so far it's only been hilarious.
What does your crab claw do with the... What do you do with the tile?
I bring it back over to me, and I slip it in my bag along with... everything else I have with me.
Nice.
I thought for sure you'd take a hot minute and like fix the roof.
Like, no, you do have roof fixing experience.
Like,
I mean,
guys,
I just don't think we have the time for it.
Do you have roofer tools proficiency?
I have done some roofing in the past.
Yep. Just some good experience in the matter.
Okay, you continue on. Everybody give me another stealth check as you're running through the city. Not at disadvantage.
Oh, no. Oh!
What's happening?
Oh,
what a roller coaster!
Yes, I know, right? I rolled a 1, but I get to re-roll it because it's an ability
Halfling
check, right?
Trait.
Yeah.
Yeah, your lucky trait.
Who am I thanking again? Who just told me that? On
oh, one of our patrons, Derelith.
Derelith, thank you. Oh, that's better. Is our sneakiness still on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have not dropped pass without trace.
Okay.
So
34.
Until the hour runs out, it's going.
Ooh. 34.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
17 for me.
Thank God you got to reroll.
Right?
16 for me.
21.
It would have been like, and Sully slides off the roof. Just
you
leave
split
me behind.
The party. Congratulations.
never split the party.
The four of you are moving silently through the shadows and across the night. You're making good progress now, until you hear that whistle again. It's coming from behind you this time.
I will look around, identify another hiding place, and lead them there.
We will try to sneak into
it. Scurry into there. Do we have to roll for scurry and sneak?
Yep. Yeah. Please do.
I didn't have to roll last time. Do I have to roll this time? You said I was small and sneaky.
Yeah, no.
Not big and juggy.
I mean, that's also a halfling trait, is that you're able to...
You are able to hide. Yeah.
As
find
long
those
as
spaces.
No, Sully and Floor are fine, because you're trying to find the place, but...
Well, that's a 29 for me that time,
Jeepers,
Russ.
Jeepers, creepers.
20 for
hey.
Me.
Russ is like, well, this episode just is brought to you by jumping roof to roof silently without any problems.
Keith is very good luck for us. We have literally never rolled this well.
I mean, a plus 10
in
does help.
4 years of
plus
playing.
10 helps a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, you duck under and you see the sentry go and it kind of, it goes ahead of where you were, and then you see it stop and like hover, its wings flapping in the location, like 10 or 15 feet ahead of where you are. Just stopped there.
Can these things like...
Shh. Sully points to his nose and he's like... like, can they smell us?
Floor thinks about it. And then... kind of shakes his head no.
Sully mimes that woo, hand across the forehead, like, whoo!
You wait for what seems like an eternity for the four of you.
I will gesture to my eyes, and then to the shadows below, and then to my eyes again, and then to the gargoyle.
Sully looks at your eyes, looks at the shadows, and looks at the gargoyle, and then looks at Glim and goes,
Do you want to roll an insight to see if you can pick up on what Floor is trying to tell you?
Sure. Insight?
Yeah.
That's a 9. I look at the shadows.
I rolled a nat 20.
Oh, nat 20 is much better than that. Karma. Much better than my 7.
Definitely, Glim, you get what Floor is trying to tell you, and Keith, you're more than welcome to
which is
articulate.
To, yeah. That they do have dark vision.
Right.
They can see in the shadows.
Amy was just as confused as Sully was.
Describe this hiding location that you have found.
There are many chimneys in the city, some of them wider than others. Over bakeries, potter shops, things with very, very large ovens, the chimneys tend to be wider, and so we're looking for one of those wider chimneys as opposed to just, you know, somebody's pot-bellied stovepipe.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. You've definitely found one of those, and you hear the flapping of the wings kind of pick up again, and then you hear another whistle coming from. Further down and off to your right. And as you wait there to see, unless you say you do anything else, you see a sentry gargoyle zip by and go out from where you are. And then you see another one, like the silhouetted figure against like the night sky, coming towards you.
I would like to look over the edge of the however far I can reach my head out without giving us away. See if I can see over the edge and maybe find a balcony or something like that.
You can see down and a bit into. You can see from the building that you're on, it looks like more of a shop front. It has one of those like fabric awnings down below, but you don't see like a traditional balcony or fire escape style.
Just wondering, is there a window across from that awning that we could maybe pull like an Aladdin bump off and then through the window?
Bounce, yeah. Like trampoline it?
There's a window over there.
Okay. Floor will climb down the side of the building to the awning. And then I want to make sure I'm not going so far that they're out of the radius of Pass Without Trace.
How far is that?
But that's 30? I think that is a 30-foot radius. Yes. So I'm going to go to the top of the awning and then try to, from there, jump across to the window, which should be a shorter distance.
Okay. Are you signaling to them or are you just going and doing this?
I'm just doing it for starters.
Okay. Make me a dexterity check.
Okay. Does acrobatics count for this?
Yes.
Or just straight dex?
No, we can go acrobatics.
Okay. That is a 19.
Yes, then you are able to do that. You get down to the awning and you are able to make it to the window across the way. Or you're going to the window in the same building or the window across?
The window across. I'm going to open the window as quietly as I can.
Okay. Stealth check.
Stealth is 23. With pass without trace, it's 33.
Oh, okay.
Oh my.
Yeah, you're in. Yeah.
And then I will look out the window and gesture to them.
Okay.
All right. I see the gesture, and I kind of point at Glim, like, you or me.
You, because yeah, I think you should go first.
Okay, I'm on it. So I'm going to try and recreate the exact thing I just saw happen of climbing down, jumping from the awning over.
As I see him about to attempt to do this, what kind of room am I in?
It opens up and it looks like a storeroom, like a storage area for what looks to be a textile or a clothing shop. So it's got rolls of fabrics and all that sort of stuff piled into this room.
Perfect. I am going to use my other two key points to drop Pass Without Trace and cast Silence. I'm going to center it so that it includes the window, the awning, and the chimney where they're hiding.
Okay. And that stops all sound in that area, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then roll me in acrobatics with advantage. You don't have...
no plus 10, though, anymore?
No plus 10.
Okay. Fair.
Well,
I guess.
Was only for stealth.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Oh. All right. First one wasn't great with the 5. So let's go advantage. Oh, there we go. 15.
Okay. Moot, you are able. You kind of stumble as you're kind of getting down onto the awning, and your foot scrapes against this brick wall, and you see pebbles fall, but you don't hear them fall. You make it down to the awning, and you are able to leap across and join floor.
Okay, then I guess it's my go. I am also going to try and recreate this boss move. 6, so that's not great. That was better. Acrobatics, he said? So, 14.
Same thing. You're trying to get your footing. You, Moot and Sully, you see the pebbles kind of scrape away and fall down to the awning. You don't hear the pebbles at all as they hit the ground. You go to jump off the awning, though, and your foot, your claws, push through, and you lose your footing, and you fall. Make a dex saving throw.
That's no good. That's a 9.
Your foot gets tangled up in the awning. There is no sound. Like if you yell out or anything hitting the jugs, you feel kind of like pull down to the back of your backpack, and you're kind of wrapped up around the ankle, hanging upside down in this awning. You hear from further down the street, you're still up in the chimney, everybody's kind of jumping down to this awning and has moved across, and silence has been cast over the area. You hear Helm footsteps moving down the side street that's coming your way.
Has Glim ruined this landing spot for me? just wondering if it would take my weight as well, and if we're both just going to crash to the ground.
I mean, it's kind of like wooden planks, like thin wooden planks holding it up.
Okay. Well, so I'll balance on. Yeah. I'll climb down and I'll balance on those, and I'm going to try to somehow help her out of her bind.
Okay.
Which, I mean, the silence spell reaches the floor, so she could crash to the ground.
Yep.
And in theory, no sound should be made.
Yep. She's hanging upside down right now.
Yeah. Also, I'm worried about her jugs.
Oh, fair.
acrobatics check with advantage because of the signs.
All right, that was 11. I'm at a 12.
Don't you have a good plus?
That's with the bonus. Yeah, it's with plus. Oh, wow. It's with plus five.
So Sully, thinking he's light enough.
Well, I am a light foot half.
Quickly scurries down and goes to step out. And what do you try and do for Glim?
I'm probably trying to balance one foot on each of these awning planks in order to get myself to where her foot is to like pull her free. Maybe I'm trying to get her, I'm like, Glim, like, start to rock yourself back and forth. Like,
silence.
Oh, like, she can't, oh, we can't hear anything. Okay, I'm mouthing this like an idiot then. and I start to try to wiggle her foot back and forth so she gets the idea that she should be hopefully trying to.
Okay.
Yeah. Sully's making this much more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah. Okay. As you begin to do that, you feel the wood planks crack. And the both of you fall through the awning and down to the ground. Roll a dexterity saving throw there, Glim, to see what happens to the jugs.
Oh, God. Not the jugs.
15.
You tuck and roll just enough. You feel them connect with each other, but you don't feel like that smash that you would expect from these clay jugs. Like you've rolled off of them well enough that you've softened the blow. The two of you scramble up and look up, and you see helmed guards walking across the opening, and one of them turns and looks down and stops and turns its body and begins marching down, pulling its longsword. The song Long Road Ahead is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com or boomlibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Joshua Dixon, Kat Waterflame, Devin Michaels, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Stevie, Jessica Babiuk, and Derelith. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon. This Pass Without Trace really takes care of a lot of things, doesn't it?
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. Very good. She's very good.
And friendship.
New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.